And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello and welcome back to your RBLR Rays show. It's lovely to have you here with us for some Sunday during the day game podcasting, talking Rays. It's always a pleasure to be here. I am Pat Davenport. Zach couldn't be here today, unfortunately. I've been told that he got too excited by Joe Boyle's debut, that he couldn't even put two sentences together. And honestly, I can't blame him. We've just seen him exit the mound when we're recording this, and he threw five innings without giving up a single hit. The command started to desert him in the sixth, but he's given us a good lead to work with. We're currently up 4-1 in the sixth inning as I start this podcast. We'll see where we finish it. Hopefully, it'll be with a series dub against the Atlanta Braves. And we're going to break down everything that was in Rays baseball this week. And despite some pretty underwhelming results, I always seem to be put on these solo shows after the Rays are on a string of L's, but that's okay, because I'm going to break down all the reasons why we're not going to panic this week and why I'm still pretty high on this Rays team. And there's loads of reasons to be excited about the season that is. And if that's something that sounds interesting to you, what I would love you to do is to drop a like on the video. It helps us out a huge amount. And if later on in the show you really like what you hear and you're like, I want to listen to more of this, you should really drop us a subscribe as well, because then you will know whenever we're going live or dropping a new episode, which will be great because you can stay on top of all of the Rays gossip and all of the breakdowns that we're going to be giving you. We've got a great show today. It's going to be a bit of a shorter one today because I am riding solo and monologuing about my and your favorite baseball team. And I feel like we should just get straight into it. And I want to talk about some reasons not to panic about the Rays, because this was not a great week in Rays baseball in terms of the results. We last recorded just before the start of the Texas series, I believe. And that did not go well. We got swept 5-2, 6-4, 4-3. Walk-off in the series finale there. And then we dropped the series opener to the Angels as well. So we were on an L5 before we picked up a win in the middle game. Lost again, big time in the series finale, 11-1. Won the first game of the Braves series, and then had a real frustrating loss yesterday to the Braves. Hopefully we can take that series win and move back up to 7-8 on the season. Now, this has already been brought up on Twitter, but the 2020 and the 2021 teams both started the season 5-7, which, you know, those teams won the division both years. The 2020 team went to the World Series. The 2021 team won 100 games. So we've still got so much of the season left. We are not even 10% of the way through the season. So all the sample sizes are still far too small to get particularly excited or disheartened, really. Either way, there's still so much baseball left to be played before we panic. But I want to give you some signs. Something that we talked about in the offseason is we were like, listen, we just need this team to have a league average offense. And with our pitching staff and defense, that's all it's going to take for us to kind of make the jump from kind of a 500 team to a 90 win team. And so far, the Rays have been really good offensively. They are currently got a team 116 WRC plus, which puts them seventh in baseball, third in the American League in team WRC plus through the season so far, which is really, really impressive. We have been hitting really, really well. It has come, unfortunately, with runners in scoring position, the stats have still not been as good as you'd want them to be. Because if I change the WRC plus to with runners in scoring position, that goes down. Oh, wait. Have I been leading you on the whole time? I have. The WRC plus with runners in scoring position has gone up to 119 as well. So don't let the eye test fool you. We're still top 10 with runners in scoring position. We're scoring a good amount of runs, and we're just not winning those kind of coin flip games. I mean, in Texas, we got swept with a combined run differential over those three games of minus 4. So we were losing by two runs. We only lost by two runs against Texas. Again, the first game against the Angels, we only lost by one run. We only lost by one run against the Braves. We're losing loads of coin flip games, but there are so many things that we're doing well. Our swing decisions as a team are mightily improved. We're still walking loads. We're absolutely smoking the ball. Our average exit velocity as a team is really, really high. We had a weird homestand in the first week where the wind was like killing everything. Now the wind's blowing out to the outfield, but unfortunately that's coincided with our pitches giving up a lot of fly balls as well. So it's just been a thing where we can't get everything to line up perfectly, but we've been in all but like two of the games that we've played this season. We've never been out of a game. In fact, the only time we've lost a game that wasn't a save situation was that game against the Angels that was a blowout. We've been in every single one and given ourselves a chance every single game. And you think if we keep smacking the ball as well as we do and we keep taking our walks like we have been, not chasing as much, then the results are going to just turn around and we're going to go on a big run very, very soon. I want to talk a little bit about Yandy Diaz as well, because Yandy Diaz has been on a bit of a slide this year, batting just 207, 230 on base percentage. He hit a home run today, so he's already getting back on track. He's hitting over 500 in his last four games. So this is why we don't panic, because when Yandy is going through a slide, it lasted like a week and suddenly he's back doing really well. He's still absolutely clobbering the ball. 70th percentile average exit velocity, 80th percentile hard hit percentage, squared up percentage, 89th percentile, which is really, really strong. And he's barely ever striking out or swinging and missing. He's in the high 80s for both strikeout percentage and whiff percentage. There is a little of a concerning trend that he is chasing a little bit more. He is swinging at pitches outside the zone a little bit more than I'd want him to. His outside swing percentage has increased 7% on last year, but you could also wear that up to a small sample size early in the season. He's still kind of getting his head back into what the zone looks like, and I would expect that to go back down as well. You'd expect the walk percentage, which is very, very low to start the season, to creep back up as well, because right now it is very low, just 3.3%. But you know, maybe that means pitchers are attacking him more, but he also needs to chase a little bit less because he is chasing more than we're used to. Danny Jansen, he's starting to turn it around, but I think the only major concern that I want to address with this Rays team right now is catcher defense. I think we're doing everything so well, but the big concern is catcher defense. And the main thing that I want to address right now is mainly Danny Jansen, because he is the main catcher. He is the starting catcher. And while the quality of his at-bats have been good, he's not really produced the results yet, but I think the quality of his at-bats have been pretty good. His defense is costing us quite significantly, and that's coming down to two things. One, his arm speed. He is not being able to throw the ball very well, which means people are running at will off of him. They are just running all the time and being very successful against him. His pop time is pretty good, but he just can't throw. He can't throw, which means that as soon as anybody with above average speed gets on base, that's a free extra base for them, which is, you know, the Rays modus operandi when they're playing. But when it's happening against us, that's a big, big struggle that we're coming up against, and where a lot of the runs or scoring threats against us are coming from, where our big stuff guys will lose the zone for a minute, they'll walk a guy, and then straight away, off they go, stealing second, and then all of a sudden we have a runners in scoring position threat. And Danny Jansen is not throwing people out enough. And the other big concern is framing. Framing is a really important part of catching right now, stealing those strikes, especially the Rays, because they depend a lot on stealing those strikes at the edges, you know, getting those marginal gains, turning a close pitch on the edge of the zone from a 1-2-1 count to a 1-2 count with a good frame job. And they've always valued catchers that could do a good job in framing, like Jose Molina, like Mike Zunino. And now they have made the pivot to Jansen, who has been about a league average framer most of his career. He was a little under average last year, but this year he has really struggled in his framing percentages. He currently is minus one run compared to average as a framer, which is not good. But the main thing is currently the framing strike rate, which is pitchers kind of what's I'm going to break this down slowly for people that don't know how framing is measured. This is by Baseball Savant's metrics. There's the strike zone. We all know where the strike zone is. And then kind of in the immediate area around the strike zone is a place called the shadow zone. It sounds like a place from Yu-Gi-Oh!, but it's actually the area just outside the strike zone where strikes could get called reasonably. It's like not far enough out of the zone it's an obvious ball. It's one of those that if you have a good framer, they can get that called a strike as often as possible. And currently Danny Jansen with pitches around the shadow zone are getting them called for strikes 33.8% of the time, which is really, really bad. That puts him in the fourth percentile of catching framing, which is really, really bad. He's like in the bottom 5% of catchers framing. And admittedly, that's only in 237 pitches that are eligible. But he averages in his career way more than that. On average in his career, he was kind of in the high 40s in his framing strike rate. He's now in the low 30s, which is really, really bad. He's not even got any zone where he is doing well at catching those balls. And again, that is making a difference to counts. And I don't have the exact numbers to hand with me right now, but the ex-WOBA in a 2-1 count for a hitter compared to the ex-WOBA of a hitter in a 1-2 count is dramatically different. It puts the hitter at such an advantage. Same with 0-1, 1-0, or if there's a pitch that's 2-2 that's on the edge and it could have struck him out, but instead it goes 3-2, it makes such a difference. And he's only getting those calls a third of the time. So two out of three times, he is actively hurting his pitcher's count by not being able to get the framing job correct on those pitches. Me personally, these are still well below his career norm, so I'm hoping there will be some improvement there. He has been sometimes using a one knee down catching stance, which is kind of taking the league by storm. That's a big thing in catcher defense right now, where if they're doing the one knee down stance, they're usually more steady with their hands because they've got a stronger base to work on physically, but he's only doing that sometimes, and the Rays have been a team that have been telling him to do it, and he's not been doing it all the time. He's only doing it sometimes, which is having an effect on his framing. I think if he were to do it more often, then maybe he would manage to steal more strikes, and maybe as he gets more comfortable doing it, as it is a new thing for him, maybe he will then start doing it more, get more framing strikes, and kind of get back to his career average. But right now, he is really struggling. He can't steal strikes for his pitchers, and he also can't throw out any runners. So that sucks, and it also sucks when he's not producing offensively. I still think the quality of his at-bats have been good, but yeah, he has not been producing. When you compare that with Ben Rotvet, Rotvet has been better offensively. He's been around the same with his limited ability to catch runners, which you'd expect him to do a little bit better going forward because he usually is okay at catching runners. But yeah, the framing, not great. 41.7%, still below average and below his career norms. So it's having an adverse effect on a really good pitching staff that are used to catching those strike calls on the edge. So we'll hopefully see an adjustment soon, but for me, that's the biggest weakness of this team. I think we're otherwise smoking the ball, making good swing decisions, having good at-bats, being good with runners in scoring position, despite what the eye test may tell you. We're just not getting those final innings. We're not getting the balls to drop, or we're not getting our defenders in the right place to catch the ball. And then them's the breaks. We're going to lose 60 games this season. We just got to hope that we can, you know, string a run together at some point. Something that you don't need to worry about, some positive regression, if you want to make a move that will improve your fashion sense, is going to shop.rblasports.com, because you can get all of the best Tampa Bay sports merchandise, whether it's for your Rays, for your Rowdies, for your Sun, for your Lightning, or your Bucks. All the apparel is there. We got caps, we got t-shirts, we got all sorts to suit your needs, and you know you'll be repping the Bay Area with the best stuff on the market. And if you use the promo code Flappy to represent those Flappy boys, then you'll get 10% off your order. Just go to shop.rblrsports.com right now to get that apparel. And also, if you've been interested in catcher defense and breakdowns and me talking about more advanced stats and how they work, because I know that everyone comes to baseball from a different place in terms of how much they know about statistics, how much they want to talk about statistics. We definitely talk about statistics on this show, but I'm sometimes conscious that we sometimes throw some statistics out there that are quite advanced or not as well known as, you know, the kind of baseline stats. We don't really explain what we mean all the time. So if you are interested in learning more about catcher defense or pitching mechanics, or want us to break down some particular stats and how they work to help inform your own baseball opinion, be sure to let us know in the comments. You can even let us know live if you're watching us on the live stream. If you go to YouTube, the YouTube live feed, you can leave a comment, ask a question, let us know how the show's going, how what you think of the Rays season, and we may be able to respond to it live then and there on the show. So that's always a good thing to do. And the best way to know if we're going live is to subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on social medias, get the notifications on. You know the drill by now. But it's now time for my favorite time of the week. It's time for our bat and arm of the week. And I'll start with Pat's bat of the week. It has been an easy choice. He has led the team in WRC Plus, not just this week, but for the season so far. This current week, though, he has had an eye-popping 276 WRC Plus, which means he is 176% better than league average. He's put up half an F-war in just six games. Couple of home runs, drove in six. He has been on absolute fire lately. It's the guy that we all predicted to have that breakout season in Steinbrenner. It's Jonathan Aranda. Jonathan Aranda has been absolutely outstanding. He has been absolutely smoking the ball, having excellent at-bats. He is picking up exactly where he left off at the end of 2024. And we all went, hey, Aranda in this park, with the at-bats he was putting together, the way he was hitting the ball, he's going to have a special year. And so far, it has been incredible. I mean, on the year so far, 378 batting average, 455 on base percentage, 703 slugging. It's just been incredible. And the thing is, he is unbelievably smoking the ball. His expected slugging percentage, 97th percentile. His ex-WOBA, 97th percentile. His barrel percentage, 88th percentile. Hard hit percentage, 95th percentile. It's just nuts. The only thing you'd want to watch out for is he is chasing a little bit, but he's also, but it's when he's smoking the ball every time he makes contact with it, you take the swing and miss sometimes. But he's been absolutely outstanding. And you know what? He's actually played really well at first base defensively, which was the thing that's kind of been his hang-up as a player. Can he play defense? I'm not so sure. But he's been really good at first base so far this year, producing a whole out above average already. So we love that for him. And he's kind of forced Yandy Diaz into almost permanent DH spot, which is good because it means that Yandy doesn't have to use his legs so much, less likely to get injured. And we might have a first baseman for the next few years on our hands in Jonathan Aranda, which is just great to see. So Jonathan Aranda, congrats on your bat of the week, but hopefully you will just be bat of the year and keep this up the whole way forward. In terms of arm of the week, again, it's only got to be one person for me. I mean, we've had some good weeks from people. I mean, Taj has been okay. But for me, it's got to be Drew Rasmussen. Drew Rasmussen has been excellent. He's made two starts this week, 10 innings, only allowed one run in the 10 innings, half an F4 again, FIP of 1.39. Yeah, really, really special. Struck out a bunch of guys. He was my sleeper pick for being the best pitcher in this rotation so far this year. Well, this year in general, and he's gone out and proved that so far. He's been absolutely incredible and continues to just be the epitome of pitch efficiency, but also getting loads of strikeouts, ground balls as well. So Drew Rasmussen, keep doing that. You are going to be our stopper this year. And I'm really excited to see if he can continue this and stay healthy, because if so, he could be getting Cy Young votes, as could Shane Bars, as could Pepio, if he manages to put it together, despite a couple of rough starts, I think the stuff is still there for him. So, yeah, I'm really, really happy with all of those guys. Looking ahead to the week that's coming up, we're finishing up this series with the Braves. It's currently a tighter ball game than when I started. It's now just a 4-3 lead for the Rays. But after this, we are going up against a couple of AL East rivals, which I'm really excited to start taking the field against. One of them is the Boston Red Sox. That's going to be a really good series at Steinbrenner. We're throwing Shane Bars, Ryan Pepio, Zach Littell out there. That's going to be a fun one. But then we've got a four-game set with the New York Yankees, and that is where it's going to get real. What the first game's on Prime, and then we're bringing out everyone. We're bringing out Bradley, Rasmussen, Bars, Pepio. So that's going to be a really good one. Luckily, we're avoiding most of their good pitchers. We just get Max Fried in the series finale. The rest of them, I think the Yankees pitching staff is really gettable. I think it's really easy to get to that Yankees pitching staff. So if we can score some runs off them that and abuse that short porch against them, that'd be some poetic justice. We just got to be careful because their bats are on fuego right now. They're hitting so many home runs. We've got to be able to try and keep that ball on the ground against them and be careful. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, they're kind of up and down. I don't think they've quite been able to hit their stride yet. They've had a rough series against the White Sox. They've got some okay pitching. I think Walker Buehler, we can get to him. Sean Newcomb, I'm worried a little bit about because we've struggled against lefties historically. And I think Newcomb is one of those guys that just feels like a guy that will have like a season best start against us. But their offense is, again, up and down. If our pitching can navigate them, then we'll be, I think both of these are winnable series, especially at home. I'd want to win the series against the Red Sox. I'd like to at least split the series against the Yankees, but I think it's a winnable one. If we can at least win two games before the game against Max Fried, then I think we'll be in a really good position and we can be right in that AL East mix once again. Because despite the underwhelming week, we're still only two games back. We've not even played 10% of the season yet. We've got so much more to look forward to, and I'm excited for it. I know this was a quick episode this week. We only managed to go 25 minutes, but we, you know, it was a last minute solo show. It's all good because Joe Boyle, he's the best. And Jonathan Aranda is going to come and hit a pinch hit home run as soon as I end this show. And we're all going to be saying, raise up. I know it. So thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate you having a quick check-in with us, a quick reason to not panic, and be sure to like the video if you've enjoyed what you've heard. Be sure to tell your friends about it, subscribe to the channel, get those notifications on. We'll see you all next week for what will be another amazing show.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.